Glad to be back. Had a good trip. Sabbatical is nice. Having a break, bit of a break is nice. Anyway, I want to welcome the visitors. Hopefully I'll have a good message where you'll come back again and again. Anyway, my message for today is, I'll entitle it, "They Are Without Excuse." And I get it from Scripture, and you'll quickly find out where the Scripture is. There's a people that we do not need to preach the gospel to. And I'll tell you who they are. It's all in the Word of God, and it's all there for us to read if we study. The interesting thing about God is He never makes the first move, never. You have to. When it comes to have a relationship with God, it's you draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to you. So it works where you make the first step, and that's why it's called faith. If I see what I'm doing, then it's not faith. So that's why whatever we do, when you make the first step, when Gary, you give a word of knowledge, it's a step of faith. And God, the reaction comes immediate. God puts His hand on it and His imprint. But we have to operate in the Spirit or in the Word of God, and that's how you walk by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Because sight, the things that we see are temporal. It's the things that are not seen are eternal. So whatever is coming is eternal. Anyway, back to my message of and I'm going to get into it later on, but I want to lay a foundation of it first, or lay a where I'm getting at with this. They are without excuse. If you are not a God hater, so this message will not include you. If you are not a God hater and you do love the truth, even as an unbeliever, I remember as an unbeliever, I wanted to know the truth to a certain extent, but it was within me to want to know the truth. I always questioned the system I grew up with. I always had a question about why are we doing this? Why are they allowed to do this and we're not? Why is this colony allowed to do this and we're not? Why? Ask questions. Don't just say, you do as you're told. Don't go for that. Search out the truth with your own heart and find out what the truth is about every situation in your life, and you'll find it is freeing. It'll set you free from the bondage of people keeping an oppressive hand over your head, because we're going to give account to God as individuals. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, He will judge you, not them. They will get their judgment, but you will have to stand for yourself when God will ask you, what did you do with the truth that I left you with His word? So yeah, even as an unbeliever, if you want to know the truth, if you're drawn towards the truth, even if it hurts, God is going to take the next step and draw you to Himself, one way or another. That's what happened to me. I'm talking from experience here. But on the other hand, if you are a God hater, that's where it gets sticky here. Or you even say there is no God. If there is a God, why is all this evil? Okay, that, now you open a can of worms. Okay, so in your opinion now, we have no God, but we still have evil. So what happens now? Who's the perpetrator of evil then, if there is no God? So it's us and Satan. So we have to look, or in this case, if you don't believe in any supernatural beings, then it's us. So we have to take account or take responsibility for all this evil that's going on, since you can't blame God, since He doesn't exist. But He does exist. And I'll get into that. But now that there is no God, in your opinion, we still have all this evil. You're coming to the wrong, and I'm going to use you, because I cannot include myself in this, because I believe in God. A lot of times I will say we, because it's all inclusive. I'm preaching from a point of view where I also have to make an improvement. Here I don't need to make an improvement. I believe that there is only one God. My confession is that Jesus Christ came to die for my sins, and I'm forever holy. I'm forever seated in heavenly places, so I am excluded from this hating God crowd. I am part of the family of God now, and so is everybody out here who believes that Jesus Christ has cleansed you from your sins by His own blood. So be honest with yourselves And if you don't take that approach, to be honest with yourselves, woe be unto you. You will end up on the losing end when this is all said and done. Just for a second, observe and admire, and just look at an anthill. Just go to an anthill, look at it. They are at your complete mercy to destroy or to just let be. I've done both. You can just destroy them if you want to, especially if they're near my house, I destroy them. They're at my mercy. Well, we are no different. Like we could wipe them off the face of the earth. So it is with God and those who hate him without cause. The very air that you are breathing consists of him. So the next breath, you as a God-hater, take. He might withhold from you, but it's by his grace you're enjoying it. So all he has to do is withhold it from you. You are at his complete mercy. You who despises that great name, who it gives great pleasure to give you his kingdom. That's what Jesus said. It's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. All you have to do is seek it in truth, and he will give it to you. That's all that's to it. If you do not like the truth, it will forever run from you. But if you are a hater of the truth, or you love not the truth, you will end up in a Christless, hopeless eternity where there is a complete absence of God, the one you hated, and from all his goodness, no goodness is going to be there, the things that you so richly enjoy right now by his grace. We all like to point out the evils that happen, but look at your own life. And again, I know, hypothetically, I'm probably not speaking to this crowd here, but if I do, if by chance somebody here is like that, I hope not, then this message is for you too. And by the way, when the Lord laid this message on my heart, I wrote it down, and literally it came so fast when I wrote it down. I wrote it this about 2 weeks ago. Quickly wrote it down. When I came back from my trip, I went through it, and I said, man, this is a good message. Yesterday I came home, I was out on a little outing again, came back, and I read through it, and it made no sense to me. I said, Lord, I can't make sense of this message. And then the light went on again, and I thank God. You know, when the Holy Spirit shines his light into you and into the things that you read, it's an illuminating experience. It's an experience, because it seems like we live in a cloud sometimes, in a fog, brain fog. We try to understand things from our natural perspectives or from a natural point of view, and sometimes they don't make sense. There are certain things you need to understand in the light of the Holy Spirit. Scripture is not open for interpretation of a fleshly mind, because you'll run into problems with lots of scripture then. It's open to interpretation as the Lord gives the revelation to what you understand. Salvation is so easy a child can understand it, so he made sure that part is easy. But it's the wise that seem to stumble over salvation, the wise of this world, I should say. So it is the goodness of God that he's using this present moment or this present time to try to lead you to repentance. In Romans 2 verse 4 out of the King James Version, it says, or despises you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. I was asked, you don't have that scripture, I gave it to you. Okay, it's not happening. So it says, draw near unto him. Again, here's the first move you have to make. You draw near unto him, all you that hate him. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. He will make the second, he will meet you halfway if you start it. With God, always, you always have to make the first move. James 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What is double-minded? This is what double-minded is. When you're unstable in your trust in Jesus and you doubt you've been made pure by the blood of Jesus and you start trusting in your own efforts, you're double-minded. You're not sure. Be sure of who you are in Christ. Don't be double-minded. So be stable in what God has shown you. Now I'll get into this group of people that the Bible separates that we should not even preach to. We should not even judge them or point out their wrongdoings. And I'll get into that. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 to 12. The Apostle Paul writing here, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, that die, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There is something that frees you. It's the love of the truth, wanting to know the truth that has the ability to save you, that they might be saved. And look at the verse 11. That is a really, really scary verse for those who hate God. And for this cause, the cause is they hated the truth. God shall send them strong delusion. Is God evil in doing this? No, it's you're the one who made that step towards that. God meets you halfway. Or he allows what comes next to put you into the next phase. He sends them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Think of the lies that have been fed us through the news media, through social media, through any. Are you discerning the things that come out of those channels? You need a discerning spirit. Don't believe everything you see. Check things out. Check it against the word of God, even the prophets. Don't believe every prophet that comes along and has some prophecy about what's going to happen at the end time. Check it against the word of God. Does the word of God line up with it? If it doesn't, put it to the side for now. And then it says, verse 12, that's where there is absolutely no chance for these people. So why even preach the gospel or pray for them? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is a group of people that I am foreign to. I do not understand this kind of thinking. I honestly don't. I'm removed from that kind of a thought process where I could hate God and this thing could come upon me. But I was part of this group ignorantly, where I could have stayed at that course, even though I did not hate God. I would have fallen under the same category. I'll explain later on yet. So it is as believers, we need to recognize who the swine are and stop casting our pearls to the swine. If you don't know what that means, I will paraphrase. It means don't preach the gospel to those who reject it. Don't tell them. Apostle Paul himself dusted off his feet some places and said, from now on I go to the Gentiles. He went to places. Jesus himself said, if they do not accept they do not accept you, dust off your shoes and leave them. It's done. Don't come back even to your family members and continuously preach them about Jesus. You're wasting your time. If you do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to convert them, your teaching certainly will not. Your actions might, but your preaching, I guarantee you, is going to drive them further away. But your actions might convince them that you're walking and you're seeing and believing what you actually are believing in. So stop casting your pearls before the swine, but instead, for you who love the truth, grow in his grace and knowledge. Like it says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, out of the New King James Version, it says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. So we recognize him, we uplift him, and glorify his name. So apply yourselves in the things of God. And here is not my quote, but I found this a very good definition of grace and mercy. So grace is when God gives us things we don't deserve. That's grace. We all got something we didn't deserve. That's our salvation. Mercy is when he spares us from things we do deserve. That's his mercy. That anthill, remember? I could have annihilated him. Just not shown mercy. But I showed him mercy that day, and I figured I'd let him. Because they're not near my house. They can't do much damage. Maybe later on they will. I'm going to just destroy them. But it's your choice to show mercy. So mercy is when he spares us from things we deserve. well, did the Danes deserve to die? Yeah, I guess they would have destroyed my property, so I made the judgment call. Blessings are when he is generous with both. Truly, we can never run out of reasons to thank God. Just look at your lives. Look at your lives among the chaos, amongst the chaos in this world. It's like we're in a bubble. Think about that. Really, really think about it. We see all the this is supposed to happen, that's going on, all just bad news everywhere. Every front has bad news, and yet we get up every morning, the breakfast is on the table, our kids are there, we pray for them, we ask for God's protection. We think God is not answering prayers, but look around you. Look at the bubble your own kids are in. Satan can't touch them because you're faithful in providing and protecting and doing your due diligence in making sure that we are covered by his angels. There is a war going on, and there's a war going for your kids and their souls. We as parents are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And the more the war intensifies, the more we are alert of what's going on. Be not ignorant. Make sure you do. You spend time with God and seek out what Satan is trying to do and be one step ahead of the game. Because then we will constantly enjoy his protection. God is good all the time in this time of grace. So take advantage of his grace, not in a sinful way, but in enjoying the things that God gives us richly to enjoy. Now I want to get into infringement of freedom of speech that Christianity is experiencing. Why is the intolerance so one-sided? We hear of tolerance. Oh, we should be tolerant. Tolerant of what? Of who? Is tolerance only for one group of people, or is it for everybody? Well, if we're living in a free country, free democracy, tolerance should be for everybody. And we need to make our voices heard, and we need to respect their voices. It's a two-way street. They cannot shut you down, neither should they have the power to shut you down. We all need to be heard, and this is honest-to-goodness dialogue. Let's see at the end who'll win. Well, I know who's going to win, but we still need freedom of speech, and that goes both ways, not one side pushing their agenda or vice versa, just us pushing ours, though I'd rather have it that way because we have the truth. But still, in reality, we need to hear what we feel and what we have to say from every side, and we need to listen. So why can one side express how they feel and push their agenda, but if I want to express my beliefs and my convictions, I'm the one who's intolerant and a hater? Well, I understand why. One of the reasons that's so prominent that we hear is we're all born the way we feel. When I feel the way I'm acting out, I was born that way. And that's so true. They're dead on. They're just doing how they feel. David says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." We're all born in sin. We're all wrong when we were born. If we go down that path and there is that check is never there, we will go down a path that leads straight to the lake of fire, destruction. In sin did my mother conceive me. If we ignore the Holy Spirit's convicting presence, also known as blaspheming the Holy Spirit, we are in danger of hellfire. He is the standard that God has raised up through the word to put a check to our evil thoughts and to try to stop us. We're all on our way to that lake of fire, every one of us. God is not sending us there. We are there because we're born in sin and we're headed there. And God is trying to stop us from going there. So that's why we all need to become born again from above. That's how that stopped. We need to become born again. And the reason this gospel message stings so much to the God haters is because of the Holy Spirit that gives Scripture the ability to cut right to the heart. So in all reality, this is what real true love looks like. Seeing the danger that's up ahead and trying to warn people from going in that direction. And even there, we need to use wisdom. Because I'm going to get into a part here that God warns us from warning certain people. And remember this though, as believers, we talk the loudest when we truly exhibit what we really believe in. Remember that. When you speak and tell me about Jesus, but you're living a life that denounces that or that contradicts that, I'm not going to take you very seriously. A message, the Holy Spirit can still take that message and turn somebody, yes. But you're not doing yourself very many favors. So the loudest and the best witness that you can ever do is to let your actions speak louder than your words. And then you will have a lot of people drawn to the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you ever been around certain men or women and felt convicted without them saying a word? I've experienced that before I became saved. Being around, even as being saved, I experienced that. Even though he or she never said a word, I was convicted. I was in the presence of certain believers and I was under conviction. So as believers, be wise, use wisdom when you open your mouth, and remember, you're already filled with the Holy Spirit. You're already a light that's shining on a hill. You are that. You're not becoming it. That light is like the lighthouse guiding ships to the safe havens. That safe haven is Jesus Christ. You're the lighthouse. The Apostle Peter says we should be ready to give an answer to any man that asks us of the hope that is within us. There are evangelists who go out and evangelize and preach the gospel. They just throw the seed, and that's their job. But we don't all have that job. We need to use wisdom. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Make sure you can draw as many people to Jesus as possible. The Bible says that we should give an answer to any man that asks about the hope that is within us. And even if they don't hear it from us, guess what? They are still without excuse. This is where I get into my message that they are without excuse. Romans 1. I'm just going to read Romans 1. Verse 18 to 32, and say very little because I don't really need to say much because it says everything that needs to be said. Starting with verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress what? The truth. This is everywhere now. In unrighteousness, with an unrighteous spirit and an agenda to suppress the truth. You look at our healthcare system everywhere, our school system. It's the truth is suppressed everywhere to bring forth an agenda, and that agenda is a one-world government. Verse 19: because what may be known of God, it's there. Is manifest in them. It's already manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. We're talking about the scientific community of this world. They already know. But they know there is no money involved in allowing this to come out. All their funneling of money, their special interest, the special interest groups that garnish all these funds from the government in their special researchers would come to an end if they admit that there's a God. Because what may be known of God is manifested in him, for God has shown it unto them. See, again, that's void of us telling them about it. It's already there. It's within them. For since the creation, very interesting word, I love it, of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, not darkly. They are clearly seen. Now you see this abuse of power where they use ungodliness and unrighteousness of men to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This is what this is all about. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, this is where the danger is coming in. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men. In other words, they started worshiping the creature, the animals, the trees, the plants, the world, the earth worshippers. God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. This is what they worship, nature. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God, there's an exchange made here, for the lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. For this reason, just like Thessalonians says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, and this is talking sexually. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. This is demon possession. This is where God backs off and allows you to enjoy to let you destroy yourself right to the end. This is a dangerous position to be in, and God does not even want you to tell him that they're wrong. He doesn't even want you to be a partaker of any which way. Tell them about Jesus. They are given over. That's where the danger is here. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So if you have these desires within you, somebody's pushing them, there's a spirit behind you, drawing you to the same sex, that's a demonic spirit. You need to deal with it, and we can deal with it. It is demonic by nature. It is not natural. So there is help for us. I know probably what I'm speaking here, the government doesn't even allow me to speak, but I don't care. This is the word of God, and I speak it in love, knowing that you can be delivered from those evil thoughts. They are demonic, and you can be set free from them. We're all born in sin. We're all born with the tendency to be thieves, liars, or we are those homosexuals, adulterers. All those sinful lifestyles are in our nature when we're born. That's why we need to become born again. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. The King James Version says reprobate. The New King James Version says a debased mind. This is all mind issues. To do these things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, there are whispers. This is now every sin, not just homosexuality. This includes every sin that we're all capable of committing. They're backbiters, verse 30, haters of God. Here's that word again. Violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Where have we seen that nowadays? Undiscerning. We need to be discerning. Untrustworthy. We need to be trustworthy. Unloving. We need to love. Unforgiving. Again, we need to be forgiving. And unmerciful. Verse 32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. So not only, even if you don't partake of them and you approve of them, you are the same as the ones doing them. This is where I ran into a problem with this whole scripture, is Romans 2, verse 1 to 8. That's where I was till the Holy Spirit showed me what is going on here. Verse 2 seems to go right back at us now. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. So we're all without excuse. Whosoever you are who judge. Now let's say we're judging these people. For in whoever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We are all doomed likewise if we are without Christ, even if you don't practice those things. Even as a religious person who hates all those things, you are under the same judgment as those people. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. So the judgment is there. We do not need to give that judgment to those people. God's judgment is already there. Verse 3, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? So now he's talking to those who don't do those things, even though he says you're the same whether you do them or not. If you are without Christ, if you are under the law, you are guilty of the same, because the law can only show you that you are doing the same. It cannot cleanse you from your sin. So this is where the people, which were the Jews, were following the law, the Romans, which were practicing those things, were under the same judgment. The ones that were committing those horrible crimes and the ones that were trying to obtain their righteousness through the law. In verse 4 it says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God that you experience right now is leading, can lead you to repentance. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, which means unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So what is our obligation in all of this? What do we need to do? First of all, when it comes to these people, leave them alone. Don't judge them, because they are already under the judgment of God. It is not our place and we're supposed to judge one another, not them. They are being judged by God. God is going to make that judgment. And he has the perfect judgment. We don't. We don't even know what to do with him, or with a person that has that kind of a mindset. We cannot begin to. And the other part is, when you start judging them, you better make sure you're 100% clean from everything that they do. And all the lists of sins that I mentioned, and that includes gossip, slander, backbiting, unforgiveness, all those things are included with those vile lifestyle, those God-haters. They were all in the same verse. So remember this when you judge these people, that we could fall under the same judgment. We are here to show God's love, God's grace, and to not be partakers of their unrighteousness, but to show that there is a way out. That's our job. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. It is not our job to point out the sins of unbelievers. Not at all. This is the Holy Spirit's job to do through us by the way we live our lives. In other words, as that light shines, you start seeing things. Switch off this light, you'll see very little. Then switch it on, make it brighter and brighter, you'll see everything. This is how we're supposed to work. They, by being in your presence, should be convicted without you even saying a word. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit that you have within you is. It has enough power to convict somebody without you saying a word. Now, just a little bit of a word for the bride of Christ. Jesus loves his bride, the one he purchased with his own blood. He loves the church, who recognizes that she is spotless. That means the church that recognizes that she is spotless, made so by the blood of the Lamb. The church, by all means, is not perfect, the way they operate. But woe to the man who finds pleasure in pointing out her imperfections. Christ loves his church. Let us do the same. I have no doubt when the people begin to see that we love one another, we will start changing the world that's around us. That's where it starts. Not by me telling somebody about Jesus. Clean up our mess that we have, and you will see what's going to happen. I have no doubt that the Lord can see more fault in his church than I can. And I have equal confidence that he sees no fault at all, because he looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he covers the faults of his bride, he covers her faults with his own love. That love which covers a multitude of sins, and he removes all her defilement with that precious blood. The reason I'm putting this in, we're under the same category as those God haters. But we were made clean. We were separated. All because we chose to trust God. We're not any better. We were separated, sanctified, and cleansed, and sanctified. We're set apart for this great marriage supper of the Lamb that's coming up maybe this year yet. Because he covers her faults with his own love, that love which covers a multitude of sins, and he removes all her defilement with that precious blood which washes away all the transgressions of his people. We are the church. Our job as believers is to display Christ in every detail and aspect of our lives. That's our job. So that people are drawn to him. We lift up Christ and they're drawn to him, not to us. And he will draw many unto himself. Amen.